with a stranger. Being a Thursday, we always have our Portsmouth Authors Collective Book Club in conjunction with Victory Radio, and that's no different today. We will still be doing that in a song or two's time, and our guest author this week is Elliot Masindo, and I look forward to talking to Elliot. He's a poet who has also now just released a novel, so we'll be talking to him about that, and then of course with the wonderful Laurie Westron giving us writing tips, tricks and traps.
Good company on the move, in the home, a friend that's true.
Victory. Paperback Writer.
It's the book of the week.
And it's that time of the week again. Yes, it's time for Portsmouth Authors Collective Book Club with Laurie Westron and myself and our guest author this week, who is going to be Elliot Masindo. And Elliot Masindo is a Zimbabwean-born poet and a writer whose passion for creative writing grew when he was still in high school. The passion prompted him to study English literature in order to understand how poetry, short stories, plays and novels are written. And Elliot's work involves themes relating to injustice, mental health and global inequalities, influenced by his profession as a social worker. Elliot has published two collections of poetry on mental health and one short novel. Elliot has since ventured into spoken word poetry music with a couple of songs already released in the last few years. His aspiration is to continue inspiring people through poetry, writing and music. So our book of the week is by Elliot Masindo. It is called Welcome to London. And a little blurb from it is, all T knows is the excitement of leaving Zimbabwe for greener pastures. She is a young lady excited to face new challenges, but she does not know what is lying in wait for her. And she watches as the world crumbles around her. Sexual abuse, homelessness, joblessness and attempted suicide are some of the horrific things that ruin T's fantasy. It turns out not to be the perfect welcome to London that she was expecting. So, Elliot Masindo, I guess not all stories have a happy ending. Maybe we will find that out in a moment. But welcome to Victory. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you so much, Bob, for having me.
It's my pleasure. You're a poet, really, aren't you? That's your biggest thing you do.
Yes.
And, you know, what inspired you to write a novel when you, in fact, are more of a poet than a novelist?
So just a bit of background. There's been a lot of migration to the UK, people coming to the UK. There were a lot of issues, when accommodation was a challenge, contracts that they were signing were not very lucrative.
Sure.
And people faced a lot of challenges. So I decided to write something to raise awareness. It's a novel, but it addresses real life challenges.
Okay. Is there any significance to the title of the book? It's simply Welcome to London.
So the funny bit is, back home in Zimbabwe, where I come from, everyone who migrates to the UK, people think they're in London. So when you go back, they would say, how is London? Not knowing that maybe I might not have been in London, sure. Permanently in London. So that's how I came up with the title, because a lot of people think that when you come to the UK, you are in London.
How long have you been here in England?
For 6-7 years now.
Okay, and how does your background influence your writing?
So I come from not a very good background, a poor background. And, the life challenges that we faced when we were growing up, clothing, food, school fees, all those challenges shaped who I am today. And my writing mostly focuses on supporting the vulnerable people. I'm also into social services and social work, so that helps me a lot to reflect on how I support others and what voice I can put out to provide the support that is necessary.
Okay, were you doing social work when you were in Zimbabwe?
Yes, so I was working for social services. Then when I moved to the UK, I pursued a social work degree.
Oh, I see, so you had the experience and that was kind of your background anyway.
Yes, yes.
And is the novel is partially about the issue where people do emigrate to England and they're not treated well. and they're drawn into the care sector.
Yeah, so I think the focus mainly is on getting the word out there that it's not always easy, because people think that the moment you come over, things will become smooth. But it takes a bit of time, and there are challenges as well. I highlight in the novel, you know, challenges like accommodation issues, childcare issues, sexual abuse, you know, modern slavery, all those things. They come up in the book so that people are aware that it's not always 100%. There are loopholes as well.
What themes are you interested in?
So mainly I write about vulnerable people. That's the main theme that I focus on. As I said, my background, I came from a poor background. Then secondly, I pursued social work. So I work a lot with vulnerable people. So I'm mostly interested in that and, you know, global injustice. I also write a lot about that as well, because I think the imbalance of power is what perpetrates inequality in societies. So I use my poetry and writing to address all those things.
How long have you been writing poetry out of interest?
Oh, gosh. I think I started when I was 17, so that's quite a while. I think that's 2004.
And would you say your poetry is of a certain style?
I wouldn't say that, because I write normally according to themes. So whatever theme that I want to address at that time, I can write a poem that's along those lines. I also differentiate between, you know, reading poem and writing poem. A poem that I want to read out and a poem that I just want to publish and for people to read. So it depends with the theme and the purpose of the poem or the writing I'm coming up with.
So did you find big challenges when you thought, I'm going to write a novel now, I'm not just going to write, you know, a page of poetry, I'm going to do a novel of however many pages? Was that a big challenge?
It was a bit of a difficult thing, because I wanted the novel to be meaningful. So, you know, it's not easy to come up with the right words at times.
Come in here, Laurie. Poetry and writing novels is a very different thing, isn't it?
It is. I think that, you know, for one thing, with novels, you've got that room to expand and explore your thoughts and ideas. Whereas with poetry, you have to be very succinct and focus on a very narrow spot, so that you're creating kind of images that people can go away with, as well as finding the best way of fitting your words together.
Yeah, I guess it's trying to be the most concise you can and the most economic with words, but not economic with a story.
I think with poetry, you have to squeeze in a lot of things in a very short term, you know, like one page, two pages, because it doesn't need to be too long. But in a novel, you have got the ability to, you know, to expand, as Laurie said, which is quite helpful.
Well, was there any particular challenges that you faced through your journey of creative writing and poetry?
Yeah, publishing my work was a bit of a challenge, because my work was rejected quite a lot. So I ended up going for self-publishing, and I've got one collection of poems that was published by a traditional publisher. So that gave me confidence, and I kept on going.
Talking to a lot of authors that come through here, it isn't easy to find a publisher that wants to publish your work, but they don't give in, and obviously you didn't. But you got there in the end. Your novel is now out, Welcome to London. Is it selling already?
Yes, it is. It's on Amazon, available on Amazon. I also joined Portsmouth Authors Collective, and they've been very, very supportive. I actually didn't know that there's a very supportive group around this area where we live until I met Laurie. So when we chatted, we had an opportunity to meet at one of the events. Then from there, things have been smooth.
That's good to know. Laurie's great. She'll be back with us in part two. Are your books in local bookshops as well?
Not yet. I've been working with Laurie. She has shared some very helpful information about local bookshops that are willing to take our books. So I've approached one in Cosham Town, and they said I should bring my copies. So that's That's excellent news.
That's good, yeah. Another outlet for you is a potential another book sold. Elliot Messina, it's been lovely having you in. Thank you very much. Wish you very big luck with your book and with your poetry writing to be continued.
All right, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. But we'll be back with Laurie after this piece of music. Oh, yeah, the piece of music is Eddie Grant, Gimme Hope, Joanna, as chosen by Elliot. And as I say, we will be back with Laurie just after this wonderful song. And part two of Portsmouth Authors Collective with myself and Laurie Westron. Laurie, hi.
Good morning, Bob.
How's it going?
Great, yeah.
It's last weekend you were doing the Love South Sea Market. Did that go well?
It did, yeah. We had a beautiful day. A little bit of a chilly wind blowing through there and blowing our books around on occasion, but no, it was a lovely day, actually.
Yeah, it was nice and sunny, and when the sun was on you, it was warm. When it wasn't, and that wind, it got a bit cold, didn't it?
It did.
I was up at Fort Burbrook with the big charity bash, and the wind was really high up there. But as I say, when the wind dropped and the sun was on you, it was a very pleasant day.
Yeah, it was.
Anyway, let's get into it. Our 600-word short story competition has gone absolutely amazing. I've got to say big credit to Jackie Green.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Jackie was the real driving force behind the competition, yeah.
She is a force of nature, that lady, and she gets something done, she gets it done.
She does. We've all been amazed. We've had a tremendous response.
We have. And indeed, the entry point to that competition, Pick of the Pops competition, is now closed. And what happens next?
So from all of those entries, the judges will choose a long list. And then that list will go through the judging panel again. There will be a short list drawn up from those stories.
Yeah. Between all of you, you've masterminded a really good way of making the judging happen and making it very fair, and more than one set of eyes sees each story.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's what has to happen, because I suppose there's two ways to look at judging. There, judging that we do on a personal level when we connect personally with a story or with the style of writing. But then there's also the more objective sort of judging, where you know that a story is good. It may not be a story that is particularly of your interest, but you recognize that it's well written.
And I guess that's what a lot of this is about, isn't it? It's not just the story, it is the way it's written.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, writing is a craft, is an art form. And so, yes, it's the way it's written as well as the story itself.
Yeah. I think we'll be spending most of June looking at your entries. Yeah. And so how is that going to work?
The long list will be passed through the judges again. They will pull out the strongest stories to form a short list, and then from that short list there will be 10 stories that are recorded and broadcast here on Victory.
I know, it's going to be really exciting, isn't it?
I'm looking forward to it as well.
I believe we've had a lot of new writers submitting stories to the competition, as well as many more experienced writers. What advice can you give to new writers who have caught the bug and want to continue their challenge in writing stories?
Yeah, you know, one of the exciting things is that we have had people who have entered a story competition for the very first time because it's a bit of fun.
It is a bit of fun. I did start writing a story myself, and
ooh,
I thought,
Bob.
Well, yeah, but I thought, even though I write it, I don't want anyone to read it. So I didn't submit it for obvious reasons, you know, clash of interest and
you
all that kind of stuff.
You could have submitted it anonymously.
I've got a funny feeling some of my presenters have, and we'll find out eventually.
Oh, I look forward to that. And what was the question?
Who knows? Oh, yeah. So,
back to the new writers. And so, I think it's really exciting when people, you know, make that step and submit something for the very first time. I think that's quite exciting, and I just want to encourage anyone who has written a story and submitted it for the very first time to keep going. And And, you know, I think that writing is a way of expressing something that's on the inside of us and showing it to the world. I think it can be quite a scary thing, but there are lots of places that people can go to for support when it comes to learning the real craft and skill of story writing. And so I thought maybe I could just direct people to a few of those.
Go for it.
So, I mean, probably the easiest thing is to go down to the local news agents and pick up a writing magazine. So there are two or three publications that people will find, and they will often give tutorials on different techniques and genres, and they're quite good for giving that basic information.
I guess the library is a good source.
Absolutely. The library will have a good selection of kind of how-to books on the craft of writing. So, yeah, definitely.
You've taught creative writing yourself, but there must be online courses as well.
Yeah, there are. You know, they do range in price and length, you know, so some of them will be a full course for maybe 6 months, you know, quite an intensive course, but others will be, you know, one-off sort of workshops as well, and they are, you know, well worth looking into.
I think you're not doing yourself justice here, because this is also a good source for new writers, because you come up with a lot of stuff every week.
Oh, well, absolutely. I think, yeah, this book club that we do.
Indeed.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, that's what this is all about. It's about encouraging people to develop their writing skills and to feed through some information about what to do with your writing.
Yeah, and with Portsmouth Authors Collective, do they have to have a book published to join?
Well, yes, that is our remit, is to sell books. But there are other organizations here in town, locally, who are focused more on the crafting of stories that haven't yet been published.
Well, of course, you've got Portsmouth Writers Hub.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're fantastic. They have monthly meetings at the King's Theatre. They will do writing exercises and tutorials on a range of subjects, and they usually have a guest speaker who comes along and, you know, gives a little insight into their writing journey and provides some really good, strong information to new writers.
Yeah, and some great exercises and workshops that they carry out.
I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about exercising those skills, you know.
You've mentioned Will Sutton in the past. What's he about?
Yeah, so Will is a fantastic writing tutor. He works at the university, but he also does a lot of work in the community with writers. And so Will leads a number of classes from time to time on novel writing or on editing or on beating procrastination, which is, you know, as I've mentioned before, that's something that most writers have, you know, firsthand experience of.
Okay. Facebook groups?
Yeah, Facebook groups. Now, there are quite a few of these Facebook groups, and I do advise people to approach them with caution. As we know, social media can be quite brutal at times. You know, in some of these groups, people are invited to post up their stories for critiquing, and some of that criticism that they receive is not always delivered in the most appropriate way.
Yeah, and I want to just jump in here and say to all potentially new writers that want to publish something, be very, very aware of what's the word you call? What's the publishing style?
Oh, vanity press. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. A lot of people have gotten sucked into that, you know, paying thousands of pounds to get their books published by a vanity publisher. And yeah, they're
who really just wants your money.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so there are other local workshop groups around.
Yeah, there are workshop groups here in the city, in any town of any size. Springfield Writers is one, up over the hill, and Haventon District Writers Group as well. You know, a lot of good people, really strong writers in both of those groups. So do hunt up a local group that meets face to face. I mean, I think working online is okay if you don't have any other options, but I think most places will have a group of writers. They may be working quietly in the background someplace, but if you hunt them up, I think they're good people to be connected with that will help to develop your writing.
People that don't really know where to go, they're going to find these groups, and I guess what should they really be looking out for?
When I'm leading a writing workshop, I really stress a number of rules which just help things to run smoothly, but also ensure that people, especially new writers, aren't going to go away damaged by harsh criticism.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a certain etiquette involved in workshopping stories. And I think you need to know that you're working with members who understand what you're trying to achieve and that they will help you get there. That's what they should be aiming at. Writing is not a I was just about to say writing is not a competition, but we've just had a competition, haven't we, Bob?
Yeah, but I guess in a group it's not.
Yeah, in a workshop group, and when we're selling books as well, I try to emphasize that it's not a competition. We're not competing against one another. We are trying to do the best for each other, and so yes, in writing workshops, you need to be able to trust the people who are giving you advice. Those people need to be helping you to develop your skills as much as possible.
And really, it is about the writing process more than the reading process, in terms of they're not going to be forced to stand up and read their writing.
Well, I mean, every workshop group is a bit different. When I was teaching, I would not make people stand up and read. I mean, I remember having to do that as a child and how terrifying it was. And I think there are some people who are very good at reading, and that skill of being able to read and read fluently and smoothly and dramatically affects the audience's perception of the story. And that can be quite different. I mean, Eliot touched on this, didn't he? You know, when you asked about his poetry, and he said, well, that there are poems that are meant to be performed and spoken aloud and read to an audience, and then there are poems that are meant to be read on the page. I've always focused on words to be read on the page, and so I think there's quite a difference in those two skills.
Well, yeah, I mean, one is a performance and one is being able to read.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I've seen instances where a mediocre story gets a wonderful reaction because of the way it was performed.
I remember the first time you brought Christine in here and she read, and I thought she was amazing.
Right, yeah.
I was more taken by her performance of reading.
Absolutely. I mean, Christine is a wonderful performer, isn't she?
But she's an actress as well as an author.
She is an actress. She is an actress. And yeah, and that's it. I think there are stories that are meant to be performed, and then there are stories that are meant to be read. And so I think it's really important for anyone in a workshop group who is seeking feedback on their work to let people know which sort of story they are working on.
Wonderful, Laurie. Let's leave it there for this week. And I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll come back next week with our first question will be, and there must be bad workshops out there.
Oh.
And you'll tell us about those.
I will. Thanks, Bob.
Let's leave it there, Laurie. Take care and have a wonderful weekend.